Yes, good morning. Good morning, dear listeners. Good morning, wherever you are finding yourself. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And it's the right time to thank Mattia Sangala. And we're always thanking you. We're always thanking you, especially when you turn in to Eagle FM Namibia. We're always happy and honored, especially to be with you, particularly at this point in time. At the Early Morning Scoop. And for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. It's an economic development conversational program. That is where we discuss about everything related to bread and butter. What is that that we have done right as a nation, as a community? And what is that we really need some assistance? Or what is that we really need to clarify? Because when we bring about this conversation, we want to make sure that after every conversation that we bring about, at least we bring about some changes. Bring about some changes in the community, and also to make sure that we don't just discuss things. At least after the conversation that we brought about, at least we are going to see and evaluate ourselves and see, what should I do at this sector? How should I improve in operating at this platform? And also, what can I do to contribute positively to the development of the country? Because if we only discuss about entertainment, if we only discuss about gossips, if we only discuss about, things that are just basic things, we will never move forward. We'll never move forward. Because when you talk about who has a lot of money in your community, when you speak about who has the most beautiful girlfriend in your community, other kids are discussing about the future of Namibia. Decisions are made at the farm about investment. Decisions are made at the farm about, how policy should be. Decisions are made, and also discussions are being made about the involvement in oil and gas for now, the involvement in green hydrogen sector, while we are just busy discussing things that are really not are going to take us somewhere. So that's why we are always trying to make sure that when it's coming to things of bread and butter issue, conversation must go beyond the basics. Conversation must go beyond the basics. That's why at this platform, we are always trying to make sure that what is that which we need to tackle, especially when it's coming to issues of development, when it's coming to issue of development, not only in terms of the economy, but in terms of infrastructure, and most importantly, human development. So let's look at paying the bills, then we can...
Super Bargains await you at USAFE, where you pay for the product and not the brand. Pay only 139.99 Namibian dollars for selected Lovis premium disposable nappies, 36.99 for 1 kilo Mama's High Foam hand washing powder, 750 milliliters Sunlight dishwashing liquid for only 32.99 Namibian dollars, and Palm Olive shampoo and conditioner for 34.99 Namibian dollars each. You save, I save, we all save at USAFE.
My friend, why do you...
Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. We are indicating to you that this is where we cut across issues that has to do with development. That's where we cut across issues that have to do with human development, bread and butter issue. We discuss trade, we discuss economy, we discuss issues of governance, we discuss issues of policy implementation. We praise those who have done well, and we also trying to point out things that need to be done, and also what is the contribution of everybody to the national development. Because when you look at what is on the table, when you look at what is on the table, especially when it's coming to the future of Namibia, one of those which is on the table is NDP-6, which is a complementary plan which is directing country's developmental agenda, and there is SWAPO implementation plan That is where the country is going. That is what is what the driver is saying, and that is the vision of the country. Now, in those plans that are on the table, one of the things which I like talking about is the president to indicate to say, look, everybody has to play a part in this development. Now, you as a citizen, you need to ask yourself these questions to say, this morning when you wake up, what is your contribution to Namibia development? What is your contribution to your sector? Are you just complaining, or there is something that you are doing in terms of development? What is your understanding on Namibia vision in terms of the sector that you are into? Do you understand how much money is invested in your sector? Do you understand the budget of the country and how you can play a role in that budget, and how you can also assist in implementing of that? We are looking at those issues, and we are also looking at conversation that people don't really speak about, especially in terms of development. That's why we are always indicating to you that after we bring about a topic on the table, we always make sure that we encourage contribution, we encourage questions and criticism too, which are constructive, because for us to build our country, we always believe that conversations must be elevated. That's why when you are an expert in terms of the topic that you are bringing about, it's always very important also to make sure that you get a platform, then you give your contribution, because that which you are saying or that which you are putting on the table can be able to assist those that are listening, and also those that want your input, particularly in terms of acting toward the greater good of our country. So before we go to what we have on the table, as I indicated to you, I'm working with Dwight today. I'm working with Dwight, especially in the aspect of energy. And he will join us in 10 minutes or so, particularly to move on with the conversation of energy, particularly in terms of solar. But what we are indicating to you is that before we go to the conversation for today, as today we have two conversations, but directed to development. Before we go to what we have on the table today, we are always indicating to you that it's very important to make sure that you connect with us. Connect with Eagle FM Namibia at all our social media platform. Connect with us on Facebook. Like and share our page. Connect with us on X. Like, share our page, Instagram and LinkedIn, because when you do that, you bought yourself a luxury of having access to economic information, having access to data, having access to what is happening around you in terms of governance, political economy, development, food security, and also aspect of sport and aspect of energy. We talk about green hydrogen, talk about oil and gas, and also what is happening around the world, which have an impact on Namibia, and how can we as a country position ourselves in the world of global changes, and also how can young business people grab those opportunities. That's why access to information is number one priority, and access to right information will assist you and in pruning decisions that you are making, and also making sure that you make right decisions in terms of investment, in terms of trade, and also in terms of picking, it can either a career or a business choices that you are, or a business choice that you are making. So we also have the Villager newspaper. That is an e-paper. It's an economic paper that you can get for free. It's an economic paper that you can get for free, especially when you have a smartphone or you are connected to internet with whatever means digitally. So you can make sure that every Monday morning, every Wednesday morning, and also every Friday morning, you have access to economic insight. You have access to economic insight. You will be able also to see what is the world saying, what is happening in Namibia in terms of food security, what is happening in terms of governance and also energy. That's why we are always indicating to you that like and share the page of the Villager newspaper. And when you do that, you can also be able to access the Villager newspapers through the link. And interestingly, also the other thing that you can do to make sure that we send you the copy of the Villager newspaper every Monday morning, Wednesday and Friday. Just to make sure that you send your name to this number, 081-241-44. Save that number as your WhatsApp contact, and you'll be able to receive the Villager newspaper and have access to right information. We are always indicating to say, no, if you are a student, you are a researcher, you are an economist, you are a student of trade, or you are a developmental enthusiast, make sure that the Villager newspaper is part of your sources, because when you go to university, to a college, when you go to an institution of higher learning, there is always a requirement to say, we want people who cite sources, related sources. So if you are in that line and you are using the Villager newspaper, that which you are reading from there, there is a reference to say the report of 2024 is stating this, or the current speech of Bank of Namibia governor is stating this. Then from there, that is your fundamental point of departure. Then you can be able, to make sure that you expand from there, or you can trace that sources, and it make your life more easier. That's why we're always indicating to say the Villager newspaper must be part of your sources. On top of that, you can download the Eagle FM Namibia from your Play Store, App Store. We have an app that can be used everywhere, anywhere you are in the world, especially when you are connected to internet. Just go to Play Store, go to App Store, then you can be able to download the Eagle FM app. And when you do that, you'll be able to listen to the programs which are on air, and also the previous programs through podcast. And yeah, we also have Himba app. Himba app is a digital version of a hymn book. If you are a pastor, if you are a student of theology, if you attend events that require you to sing from a hymn book, or you are attending a church, or you are mourning, which is part of life, and it has been around, you need to make sure that you have access to the digital version of your hymn book, because in the world of hard copy, where you lose your hymn book, or you do not have it, or it's thrown away, or it is even stored, you know, some people, they reposition even a hymn book. You don't need to worry about that anymore, because when you use Himba app, when you just go to your Play Store, App Store, you download Himba app, then you have a luxury of accessing that, and for free. So yeah, and as we are always indicating to you, that you can speak with our marketing team, especially Meme Monica, Meme Monica Ipinge, and you can buy airtime. You can buy airtime so that you can advertise your business with us. You can buy airtime, you can advertise your business with us at an understandable price, and you can also advertise with the Villager newspaper. Then we have access to large platform. That is a digital world, and you can reach your clients wherever they are in the world, because in the world of digitalization, when somebody who is sitting in Beijing, China, is reading the Villager newspaper and has interest in Namibian businesses, and maybe want to buy or invest in your sector, and you are advertising with us, or somebody sitting in New York reading the digital version of the Villager newspaper, will be able also to see. And also you can get clients everywhere. That's why we are always saying to you, money invested in advertisement is money on the way to come to you. So you can do that, and you make your life more easier as a business person, and also as an entrepreneur in that sector. So let us look at commercial break. Let us look at our commercial break. Then we can come straight to it. Especially, we'll start with the aspect of energy, particularly when we talk about PVs. Talk about PVs. Talk about the buying of solar panel or solar plants. Namibia being at Namibia being at one of the countries which are importing, photovoltaic panels. Those are solar panels from China. And that record is indicating between 2024 and also June 2025. And, you know, my colleague Dwight, will get into the conversation. We'll get into the conversation with Jean Bazon, chairperson of renewable energy industry, and we will take it from there. On top of that, do not forget. After that, we are going to dive into the aspect of volunteerism. And we're going to ask very difficult questions to say, what did you contribute to your community in terms of volunteerism? Have you ever volunteered in your life? And why do you want to, for example, there's somebody who asked a question. So, no, you said you want to work in city police. But why do you want to work in city police if you cannot even volunteer at the Men and Women Network? If you cannot even become a security guard with your degree in criminal justice, because you are already ahead with your diploma in law. If you want to work for a security cluster, why can't you sharpen your thinking? Start as a guard or volunteer with Men and Women Network, then you learn from there. Because we are going to look into that aspect. And we are also going to ask questions also to say, what is the background of volunteerism in our culture? Why did this spirit is dying? And what is the report of AU is saying about volunteerism? We are going to look at the sector of health, education, emergency response, and also what is that which we can do, and also how can government, private sector, and NGO support the aspect of volunteerism? Because in most cases, some of the social problems that we have people that that can assist in solving those problems, but due to lack of spirit, or how much are you paying me, or are you paid when you are doing that, or I can't be, and the word of volunteer also starting losing a meaning, because it's like somebody you are just working for nothing. So we are going to look at that sector, and we are also going to look at the beauty of that, and how moving forward from there. And Sorry is very important to make sure that you get one thing or two from the conversations that we are bringing about. Because at the end of the day, we may be in different fields, but where we are meeting is that we are all Namibians, and every person wants what is good for Namibia. And remember, one thing that you need to put in mind is that if you are currently at a position where you are doing very well and other people are not doing very well, it's your responsibility to make sure that you assist those people. Don't not with money, with ideas, opening their eyes, and also giving them assistance and direction to get where they need to get. Because if you do not do that, the threat of inequality is not only going to affect, or it's not only affecting those who do not have, there is also affecting those who have in a community where there is nothing. And it will not give you peace of mind, because I'm always telling people to say a wealthy person in Africa is the most hated person, not necessarily because of what the person has, just because of the society where people are living in, to say, why I do not have when this guy has all these things. Even people who work so hard to earn their wealth, just because of that. That's why we are always indicating to say, for us to balance this, and for us not to fight each other, we need to make sure that, we move forward as Africans, and also we assist each other in solving of real issues. And yeah, moving forward. So let us pay the bills, and we'll come straight with the conversation with where my colleague Dwight links. We'll get into the conversation with with Jean Basson, who is the chairperson of Renewable Energy Industry Association, to look at that aspect of PVs, that aspect of photovoltaic panels or solar panels, where Namibia is one of the countries, one of the 25 countries which are really doing well in terms of importing solar. Solar energy, solar panels, because the energy, we have plenty of sun here. We have plenty of sun here. And yeah, stay tuned, because remember, we are here until the hour of, eight. And this 32 minutes past, the hour of six, we have, understandable time. And, yeah.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. Let us look at my colleague Dwight and also Mr. Jean Basson. So stay tuned. And
play. And welcoming us to this particular engagement here on Eagle FM, specifically for the Early Morning Scoop, I welcome and Mr. Jean Basson, who is the chairperson of REON, which is known as the Renewable Energy Industry Association of Namibia. Jean, you can correct me on that one, as well as also the managing director for Evion, which is a solar power participating organization, which helps with engineering services and the likes. Jean, I'd like to thank you for taking the time and welcome to our discussion here on Eagle FM.
Dwight, no, thank you for the introduction and thank you for making the time to chat with me.
100%. Jean, if we start off specifically, the reason as to why we're having our conversation is because I wanted to look at specifically what the solar power industry thinks of a recent report that came out specifically from a global observer that observed Chinese export data regarding solar panels, or as they are known, photovoltaic instruments, to the African continent, with their observation specifically being that there has been an increase since 2024 to 2025's observations. If we start just from that basic layout or specifically that particular look in terms of what this translates to? Obviously, they translate it in terms of that Africa is, you know, having a bigger demand for this renewable energy source. But if we try to make that as try to find the Namibian connection in that scenario, what does it translate to for you as the association, Rayon specifically, and for the Namibian context?
So, yeah, from a context of Namibians, I think the world is currently realizing what we already know, that the sun is shining here and in very big quantity. But yeah, for Namibians, it's great. What it means is there's solar being installed in the country, and that has a knock-on effect in the sense that we are getting renewable power, we're getting cheaper power, and it is also creating new industries in terms of purchasing of the specified equipment and then the installation part of it. So it's all a positive for Namibia in the sense that there's a massive uptick in PV for the Namibian market.
Exactly. And the next particular talking point, obviously, which would then build off from what you just answered, was can we consider photovoltaics or PVs or solar panels to be affordable? I mean, the question I'm asking there, is this a question in terms of looking at an individual, a person that wishes to have it for, you know, residential usage? So we're talking about a homeowner versus specifically business to business usage or industrial applications, because the same research or think tank group, Ember, they clearly distinguish that they don't know if it is associated to any capital projects in Africa. So I'm also going to work with the same particular indicator, potentially, because we don't know, you know, does it speak to distribution or just to a major single one buyer buying up all the solar panels and thus being behind the particular demand. What can we look into this scenario?
So in terms of affordability, it's definitely affordable in the Namibian market, and for a number of reasons. Namibia has one of, if not the highest solar yields in the world. Sources differ on if we're the highest or second highest, but we're definitely up there. We're sitting with a lot of available space, be that open land, be that single residential units that a lot of Namibians live in. We're not all living in high-rise flats. We also have a good access to our grid infrastructure, so our NamPowers, our municipalities, our REDs. We have ready access to it. We don't need to pay exorbitant fees to connect a solar plant to one of these so-called grids. And we have a low cost of labor in Namibia. And all of that translates into affordable PV. So there's a number of models in the Namibian market, everything from a direct purchase of a system from a supplier like a Tripivitz Megatech, a local installer installs it for you and you own the system, to models such as rent-to-own models, where a business is installing the system, they're owning it, and they're leasing the system to you. Or there's even utility-scale applications where large-scale solar plants of megawatts are being built. They're selling it to the municipalities or the NamPowers, and the end consumer is getting a more affordable tariff. But in all of these models, and because of all the previously mentioned factors, we are definitely getting more affordable electricity rates from PV.
Exactly. If we take a look then at the notion towards, does this speak to larger demand factors, for example, like selling into the SADC power pool aspect? Because obviously we know that Namibia has that particular linkage to some, if I can call it, some power producing markets in Southern Africa. Does it also have a contributing factor towards that in terms of that maybe Namibia can also stands the opportunity of exporting in those markets?
Yeah, so definitely. In terms of what the trends have showed is that for the last couple of years, the majority of demand has been for own consumption. And what I mean by that is it's everything from businesses and residential to NamPower for their own production within Namibia, the new hydrogen plants that are being built, the mines in Namibia. So a lot of the solar has been own production for the last couple of years. But what we're seeing in the last year and definitely in the next 5 years going forward is what we call export plants into the Southern African Power Pool, or SAP. There's quite a number of them in the works. Licenses have been approved. I'm actually busy working on one for a client where they are planning on directly exporting into SAP. Then there's a number of other projects that are selling to big off-takers in other countries, such as Zambia, that also exports through the Namibia network or the SADC network once it's outside of our borders. Mm. But that uptick has very recently really started happening in terms of quantity, but the numbers are massive for the next 5 to 10 years.
Just one slightly expanding question that I want to ask Jean on that particular note that you highlighted there. Has climate change played any significant role in this? I'm asking this particular notion because we here in Namibia heard to a great extent last year the troubles that Zambia specifically went through because much of their renewable energy is hydroelectric because they were increasingly dependent upon, you know, healthy rainfalls to keep their water-based power stations. Okay, not that I imply that they are built, you know, like literally underwater, but the power stations that require hydro input to produce the necessary outputs specifically for the SADC power pool. Has climate change played a significant role in these particular trends from what the association has seen?
Yeah, so climate change definitely plays a role in two forms. As you mentioned, hydropower plants, we very reliant on Zambia's power, and Namibia imports power from Zambia on a regular basis. So if they're sitting without enough production capacity in the form of low water in their dams, and similarly for us, if we don't have enough production from our hydro plant, we also have a shortfall of electricity, which means we need to import it at very high costs. So it all comes back to costs in the end, which then, if you can do solar, great. Mm. The other thing where climate change has affected the market is the concept of carbon credits. While it's not a massive thing in Namibia, we have seen solar plants being built that a big portion of the income or revenue stream for those plants is from carbon credit generation.
Mm. Okay, so ultimately the aspect of climate change is present there.
Definitely.
Jean, just heading into our last particular question, if we take a look at this particular trend analysis, obviously that was conducted based upon Chinese export data to Africa itself, does this translate towards a major perception that renewables are easier to install, even though you partially answered it in the first question, than if you have to put up conventional power stations or even the new kid in the block in a Namibian consideration being exploration into nuclear power generation? Are they still the easiest, the quickest, the cheapest, the most affordable to install?
In our market, definitely. I can't think of a situation where a hydro plant, a coal plant, a nuclear plant, or any other form of electricity generation is as easy as a solar installation. I mean, you could literally walk into a Pupkewitz or a similar supplier today, buy a system off the shelf, and by tomorrow you are up and running and generating your own electricity. And we have institutions like our VTCs, like UNAM, training our own Namibians to install and operate these systems. So it's very accessible for the individual, if I can call it that.
100%, 100%. And then I just want to get your last sort of like take before we end our discussion, Jean. What do you think specifically of the comparison of Africa versus Pakistan? Because the comparison that comes through from the report that the think tank Ember did was that Pakistan was greatly reliant on diesel for its power generation. And obviously, using a continent of 1 billion people in comparison to Pakistan, I know it's not the best comparison ever, but if you look at this particular kind of analysis, that there are countries that are now aggressively moving away from fossil fuel-based power generation units. What do we see happening in the next 5 years in that kind of a representation?
So where Namibia is different is, while we also a very big country in terms of square kilometers and our population is very widely distributed, we aren't very reliant on diesel generation. We're very privileged with a NamPower infrastructure that very much spans the whole country. While we still lack some rural electrification, we do have power lines crisscrossing the whole country. Where if you look at Pakistan or similar countries, they lack that infrastructure. So for them, they've been very reliant on diesel generators in different areas. Where in the Namibian market, that would rather be a backup system for large businesses, as we just had that a grid infrastructure to our disposal, where solar for them is a no-brainer. I mean, the cost of diesel versus the cost of solar is a quarter. Mm. Where in Namibia, the grid comparison is slightly different. We sitting at a grid tariff that is roughly double the cost of what the solar cost would have been. Mm. Obviously, very dependent on the application. It can be a lot higher. It can be a lot lower. But saying all of that, it's not a direct comparison that we can do with Pakistan, but whatever you compare it with, solar ends up being cheaper and is very relevant to the Namibian market.
100%. Jean, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to talk to us and our listeners. If there's still something you wanted to add that I might not have asked, you can still do so.
Just thank you for your time and thank you that we could chat about.
Yes, that was Dwight Links in conversation with Jean Basson. Conversation with Jean Basson, who is the chairperson of Renewable Energy Industry Association of Namibia. And he spoke more on importation of solar panels in Namibia. And there is an indication to say from June 2024 to June 2025, Namibia has imported around 212 megawatts worth of photovoltaic PVC panels, so that is solar, from China. And one of the takeaways, especially from Dwight's and Jean's conversation, is that when it's coming to solar, it's more cheaper, and also in comparison to the grid, which is doubling the price, depends on how you are using it of solar energy. But it's a very interesting aspect to look at, because in Namibia we are lucky to be well positioned. We can complain about being a semi dry arid country, but we must be thankful where we are positioned geographically, because in terms of plenty of sunlight, is here with us. We have hydro. We have now the aspect of green hydrogen, which indeed work hand in hand with solar energy, because visiting more than two green hydrogen project, we'll be able to realize that at the center of that is solar panels, especially when you look at Dowry's project, which is you want to say completely off the grid. They are using everything is powered by solar, and it's a very interesting form of energy, especially if it's used at a larger scale, and can also power industrialization. Looking at the fact that the world now is looking toward clean energy, not only the banning of fossil fuels, but moving toward clean energy. And John Basson, being an expert in that area, also spoke about the using of solar, because they have been this thing to say, if you are using solar, you want to be off grid, but there's an aspect of connecting the solar energy to the grid, which are indeed going to see the realization of Namibia energy goals, particularly the 2030 energy goal of electrifying more than or around 70% of the household by 2030. And I think with that in mind, as it has been the complaint at the center of that, as it has been the complaint or in terms of how can we subsidize, but how can we complement the grid? How can we complement the grid? Because looking at, for example, the argument from NamPower, as it has always been to say electricity is very expensive, and NamPower have been very clear, especially when it's coming to increasing of the price of electricity, to say we are buying electricity, we do not have enough, we are not producing enough. We are buying electricity. And there have been always proposal, particularly increment of electricity in bag, there have been proposal of 18% increment. Then different stakeholders they have to meet, and the regulator, which is in this regard is electrical electricity control board, has to also intervene, and there's an increment of 3%, which still make Namibia being having expensive or the highest in terms of expensiveness of electricity. But looking at this conversation, and also you getting time, to read the Villager newspaper, because it's at the top of our page, the Villager newspaper, for today. And when you get the luxury of reading that article, I think you'll be able also to get more insight. Especially when it's coming to importation of solar. And also maybe to ask yourself questions to say, what is your role here? What is your role? What is that that you can do as a student at a vocational training center where you see this huge importation of solar panels? Because there is also an opportunity there, because that is where you come in terms of installation, even in terms of fixing. That is where you come in. That is where you come in to assist. Because when you have a statistic, the first question we need to ask yourself is that, where is the majority of these solar panels are going, and who are these people that are involved? And as somebody, if you studied that aspect of energy, you can be able also to find opportunities there in terms of, even in terms of opportunity for installing, opportunity for repairing, and all those, you know, aspect of connecting. Because at the end of the day, the data must be part of, the data must be part of decisions that we are making, and data-driven decisions is what drive real sustainable development, because you cannot plan when you do not know, and you cannot act when you are in the dark. That's why it's always very important to make sure that when you get the statistic, when you get the records, then you see where should I fit in, and it's more easier for you to navigate through critical areas. As on top of that, you make decision. But when people are talking about calculated decisions, it's not it's not a bad thing to say somebody is very calculative. In simple terms, is that somebody look at the numbers and see how he move forward. So, dear listeners, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop. It's 54 minutes past the hour of 6, and we are here until 8 o'clock or 8 a.m. And on top of that, you can contribute to the conversation at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. So that was that aspect of energy, and we also need to see how is this going to have an impact in the price of energy. How is this going to have an impact in the price of energy? Because one of the things is that dependency in terms of energy can undermine you, can also undermine your production at home. If dependence in terms of energy can undermine your production at home, just ask yourself this. Those years, South Africa used to have what is called load shedding. It's called load shedding, where they can have a blackout for 2 hours, 3 hours, 2 hours in a day, or 3 hours in a day, different times, where people are trying to make sure that they keep the energy, the South Africa running. But what you need to understand is also that on top of that, we never run out of energy. There is always something to sell for Namibia. That's why, okay. Hello?
Mr. Shombe, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
So all your guests have gone?
Yes.
Oh, they are still there?
No, it's gone.
Yeah, so that is exactly what they were talking about yesterday also. So much energy, what. But there is a report, a very shocking report by the city of Windhoek.
Shocking, ne? What is it saying?
So, you know, that report is saying that most of the dwellings most of those houses, homes, within the vicinity of Windhoek, and it's not only in Windhoek, actually, many, many suburbs area. People are not to solar powering their homes.
They are not what?
They are not powering their homes with solar energy, with solar panels. So it is municipality who is saying so. And imagine municipality, we all get electricity from municipality. And they are saying people are not coming forth, they are not willing to install solar panels in their houses, in their homes. I don't know, maybe it's their understanding of the significance of that energy.
Yeah.
Or maybe they are just not coming forth. I do not understand. That report was there, I think, even a year or 2 years ago back now.
Okay, okay. What could be, what could be the reason?
Perhaps it's the lack of information, or maybe they are just inclined to get into more poverty. I don't understand. You know, when you put your solar energy, like they say, those are natural phenomena.
Even just as a supplement.
It's a supplement.
Yeah.
But this other one is going to bring you out of the cycle of poverty. And you remember, there were also some audits done.
Yeah.
I think two different audits done by independent companies. In the city of Windhoek, how they have been manipulating figures and things like that. And now, if you have solar panels, so don't you think that you can avoid some of those administrative corruption?
Indeed, indeed, because you are in charge of your own.
Yes, your own destiny.
Yeah, you're in charge of your own destiny. But you know what they are saying is that because you know. I need to check the statistics again, but the last time I checked, we have the highest, we have expensive electricity in SADC region. And the one of the argument is here to say this solar panel should be connected to the grid, which means that, the supply of energy should not only depend on, what is coming from Eskom, or what is coming from Zambia, or what is coming from Rwakana. But to complement, to say, if we put this in one, in a grid, it could also impact positively the change of prices. Because you know what Nampawa was proposing, last year. And you know that, the government spent around 300 million to supplement that. And people were saying, no, it's a political motivated move, which I do not want to involve into, but they wanted to increase, I think, with 8%. Then just after that, the numbers say, no, we cannot operate. We need, something like 18%. Then you have to negotiate.
You see, whenever there is some kind of election coming, and all these other political activities moving, happening. People always say, no, why now? Now? Why now? Why now? Why is it not a political mobilization or political motivated kind of action? But I just want to understand that, you know, during electioneering or whatever.
No. You know, the conversation is not really on politics, just to say we are in trouble in terms of energy.
You know, there are people who actually sabotage good programs when they are coinciding with the political activity.
Like which people?
Like, oh, you have heard of this. Why not? I was listening to some people when they were saying, this, the youth, the loans that are given to the youth. And then when they put the limits there, like, for example, we have to apply within this time frame and so. People are saying, why not now? Why now? Why now? Why are they giving us a loan now? Just been like that. And all these kind of things. But people are changing the administrative issues. And people want more, they are demanding more because they can also see the change, how people are aligning their programs and the issues like that. So without getting into that one, all I'm saying is that even this power that we're talking about, non-power,
yeah,
there are also what we call independent power producers. Those are also expected to play a role.
Yeah.
And when the question was asked,
Are really
people eager to take up some of these things? We are not. Maybe it's because we are not well informed, or maybe we don't see the benefit that might come out of from that thing.
Yeah.
I just do not know, because we are able to, if we have got solar, I mean the sun and the wind and everything.
Yeah.
We are strategically positioned. Even to help those people who might not have those natural benefits.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is that the report was saying most of the homes in winter there, people are not willing to power their homes with solar. Why? It's cheap, we are told. You can also, even if you have people who have studied at the Atsan that we were talking about yesterday, who are to build the economy, their nations, you know, they can also have access or may establish their business for power, what is it, independent power producer with non-power, and also the Minister of Energy. So you can be certified there and come and electrify the community here, the rural areas. What stops you if the legal process, if the legal framework gives you that that power, that thing? What is it? The volunteerism? So why can't we just volunteer then and say, okay, here we are. These ones are 5 artisans from VTC, and they have done. And remember that this solar panel installation, some of these pilot projects were done with Windhoek VTC and many other vocational training centers in the country. That means that project has been piloted a long time ago, and most of the guys who are coming out from the VTC, they have knowledge of those kind of things. The only thing that maybe we cannot have, because one of the trainee was saying, if they can just introduce the subject of what is the model of project management, project management in their curriculum there at VTC. I don't know.
No, there is actually, I think it's a how do you call that team? I'm not getting it. There is a team on I think reviewing of VTC, something like that. But I think that is what we need to bring about is project management, is the aspect of entrepreneurship, not just a module.
Yes, this one.
Yeah.
Project management and entrepreneurship, they go together.
And also, financial, literacy. You know what, it's an open thing to say, there is a guy at the village who build houses, for example, who build houses just at the village, ne? Or who put what do you call this who fixed roofs and all those things, and these guys have money more than teachers and nurses in those areas. They can get 30,000 just like that. But you know where the problem is? After 2 days, the guy has nothing. Then you are asked, even mechanic and all these things, and you are asking yourself to say, the education that we got made us slaves. To say, why are you not teaching me how to manage my money if you're only teaching me how to get that money? And it's putting me under stress because I need to manage that finance. It's true, because you are putting me in trouble.
If you cannot really...
What is the reason of me working?
From this, you get money, but you cannot manage.
Yeah.
They're saying that, yes, money is not a problem, but the problem is how to manage the money or something like that.
Yeah.
So I think as you go on with your awareness creation, and the people are coming in to tell us those things, the only problem, I'm not so sure whether the entities, the government and all these other ones are really coming in, because you're supposed to be assisted, incentive.
No, they must come. I think they are coming. They are listening. They are coming.
They must come. Yeah. Now they find the authority. Those authorized the bodies. Authorized body or whatever you call it in your language. They must come in and now say, yes, here it's where we can really get our message across to our client. And they will come in and say, okay, Mr. Shombe, since you are bringing in this program, I'm not talking about the one for any, for Helmut and whatever, because that one deprived more people from information. So now they should able to subsidize some of these programs so that we now get information. Remember, people also mislisten. Despite the fact that many people are bending, they are not connected to apps and things like that. So during the radio time and everything, people get more information through this radio. So if you cannot subsidize or incentivize,
Speaking finance now.
Thank you very much, David, for giving me an opportunity.
All right, thank you very much. Yeah, we are continuing with the conversation. We are extending the conversation, especially when it's coming to energy. And you know, Namibia is really trying. We just need to put more effort because the moves are there. When you also look at what independent power producers are doing, they're also doing very well. I was speaking with Mr. Nelson Shea, the CEO of Shakati Premier. I think so, CEO of Shakati Premier. And he's quite a strategic guy, looking at the situation and also looking at how the independent power producers are also working with the government and also seeing moving forward in terms of energy. One of the things that they did is to make sure that they are planning to make sure that they are using also solar to supplement their energy and how they supply it. And it's a very interesting thing, and moving in that direction, I think we are not going to lose, because it cannot be correct. It's not correct to be on a defensive mode, because the other time I was talking about we are at the economic defensive mode. We are at an economic defensive mode. Oil price increase, we put money in there to protect ourselves. We are just wearing economic bulletproof. Now electricity is on demand. Government is sending 300,000 there just to make sure that we have that economic bulletproof. But even the bulletproof itself, even if it's made of cobalt, it can also go worn out. Yeah, because let us not be on economic defensive mode, but at least doing something that can protect us for a very long time. Not only having a bulletproof, but also make sure that you move forward. So that is where the aspect of solar energy coming in. Not just mini solar, but solar energy itself, the aspect of panels, the aspect of, making sure that is part of the plans. And I think there are improvements. For more information, make sure that you read, the Villager newspaper. Make sure that you read the Villager newspaper, for today, and also for other days. That's why we're always telling you to say, save this number and send your name to this WhatsApp number. It's for free, and you save it as your contact detail. You can save it Eagle FM, you can save it the Villager newspaper, and every Monday morning, every Wednesday morning, you'll be able to receive that e-paper. Then you get that content of aspect of energy, trade, economics, SMEs, and aspect of sport, culture, and innovation. Just save this number, 081-241-44, 081-241-44, 081-200-4144. You save it and send your name there. And every Monday morning and Wednesday, you have your economic insight. And when it's coming to decisions, you surprise a lot of people, because you know where the world is standing. You know where Namibia is standing. And you make calculated decisions which are assisting not only yourself and your family, but the community that you are living in. That's why make sure that you read the paper and get that insight. So we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. This is your Economic Developmental Conversational Program with me, David Shombe. And we are here until the hour of 8 a.m. We are here until the hour of 8 a.m. You can still engage us at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. So we are moving forward. We are moving forward. And from the energy sector, we are going to go direct into the aspect of volunteerism. We are going to check on the aspect of volunteerism. What are the statistics saying? What is African Union report saying? And what is the context of volunteerism in Namibia? Why? And how? Where? What need to be done to make sure that development is done from the heart, and also people understand the cause. People understand the cause where we are moving in, which journey Namibia is facing, because it's a nation building. Nation building has to do with people understanding where they are going in their role. Where they are going in their role, because the other time example was given of somebody who is a cleaner at NASA. But he was a cleaner at NASA and was asked, what are you doing? Person was having a mop and said, no, we are taking the men to the moon. We are taking the men to the moon. And that is the spirit of people being in an institution, knowing where are you guys facing. And also that is the spirit of people being in a country to say, Namibia is moving in this direction. And my role in this aspect is this one. Am I a driver? If you are a taxi driver, you are contributing to national development. How you behave contributes to national development. The way you are driving, the person that you are carrying in your car is tomorrow's business person, or is tomorrow's doctor, or is the best lawyer for the next generation, or is somebody who is going to save your great kid when got heart attack. And we don't talk about this thing. We just say, no, a person did not, if there is no money, I will not go and take care of your kid and all these things, and the way you are driving is not in order. That's why we are going to bring about that thing in our next conversation in a few minutes, particularly in aspect of volunteerism, and also the role of volunteerism in development, and knowing exactly why are you doing what you are doing. Why are you doing what you are doing? And are you only doing something because there is money on the table, or because you want to have an impact in the society? And ask yourself, why do you go to work? Do you only go to work because you are calculating what will happen end of the month, or you are going to work because something is really close to your heart, or you are impacting people in the society? That is what we are going to look at, and we are going to be guided by the report by African Union in terms of volunteerism. So let's look at the
bill. When life gifts you...
Honey, the washing machine broke again.
Take control with Express Credit. Get fast, reliable relief when you need it most. Borrow 3,000 to 32,000 Namibian dollars, repayable over 2 to 5 months. Apply for a quick cash loan. Easy application, same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or SMS GIFT to 32274.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Yes, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And as I indicated, when it's coming to the aspect of national development, when it's coming to the aspect of national development, at the center of that, there is what we call volunteerism. And today we are going to ask those questions. We are going to ask those questions, especially when it's coming to building of society, when it's coming to building of institutions. Then just to look at what is volunteerism, what is the importance of that volunteerism, and how can volunteerism or how can a volunteer impact the community, and where are we? Namibia, in terms of frontierism, what are the statistics saying? Do we have data about frontierism, and what is the stereotype behind frontierism, and what is the African Union report on frontierism is saying, and what is the chairperson of African Union frontier in terms of frontierism is saying? Because as it's stated to say, doing everything with a good heart, but expect nothing in return, and you will never be disappointed. Now, there is an aspect of whether it's politically motivated, whether it's what it is, at the center of that, there is always an aspect of what is the role of the community. The other time, not days ago, when Professor Mpanda was speaking about the children being taught under the tree at in Kavango there, children being taught under the tree, then the community is also saying to say, no, the government is not doing what it was supposed to do. The government is not doing what it was supposed to do. That is Dhamma, that is at Kavango East. Whether there is different version from the Ministry of North or not, what we are saying here is that, what have you done as a community? What have you done as a community? Why are we able to build bars, and we are able also to build markets in those areas? There are bars. We are able to build all those things, but we cannot contribute even $20 to say, no, let us even coming up with a structure. Just a corrugated iron, a structure. You are taking something from your pocket, a structure. Why do we have to contribute money to organize a poiki or somebody's wedding? But we cannot, as a community, not from government, we cannot just coming up with some money that we definitely have. There's always some coins there to make sure that
at least we build a structure, just a structure to make sure that when there is rain, the education, teaching and learning is still continuing. Why do we expect things to be done to us? Why can't we start doing something? What is the state of volunteerism? Because looking at the history of volunteerism, African culture before it was distorted, and history have taught us this, to say volunteerism have been at the center of community development in Africa. Because you remember, there's what we call okakungungu, in terms of people assisting each other without expecting something in return. When David is at the village and people understand that me and my wife, Katuri Monawa, we do not have enough, or we do not have, our kids are small, for example, and it's time of harvesting. People can secretly organize themselves and say, no, let's surprise David and assist him. Not even to show that the reason they are doing that is because they know I can't do it alone. Then somebody will come with a goat, somebody will come with, people start singing, people start and working at the same time without expecting something in return. And it was very also difficult those years to, when you look at identifying who is helped and who is in need, you will not see it. People are there dancing, people are there educating themselves, but they are working, they are assisting. When development came, especially at my village, I'm speaking for myself, when real development, like infrastructure in terms of wiring of electricity and also building of better schools, I was able to see also that even building of gravel roads, community used to come together, and there's this thing of chanakuri chanakuronga, that people speak about that, to say no, that who is working is one who is given something to eat. But people, they came together and say, no guys, this is what we need to do. I know it's not an employment, but I know it's for the community. Now, in a context where we are now, we expect everything to be transactional. How much is that? Are you getting paid? How much is that? Why, for example, I have asked this question to say, why you have a diploma in policing, for example, you studied criminal justice, why can't you approach a security company, just a security company, and ask there to volunteer? They will not even want you to volunteer. They will give you opportunity, because they know you know the technical know-how. You want to be a head of city police one day, but you don't want to be part of Women and Men Network to fight crimes in your community. How are we going to do that? How are you going to do that? Because there is an aspect of stereotyping, especially when it's coming to somebody volunteering or somebody gaining experience. And in Namibia, what I have seen, especially among us young people, is that we have a fear of what other people are saying about us, rather than what do we really want. How do we want? What do you want? You are a student of psychology, for example, or you are a student of social work, but you do not know how many orphanages around your community, and you never even get time to volunteer at that orphanage, for example, unless it has to do with work integrated learning, unless it has to do with your internship. You don't even get time just to volunteer yourself, because how are you going to be a psychologist who is helping people with mental health problem when we get into trouble? How are you going to help us if you cannot even understand kids? Because the foundation of understanding psychology is working with kids. And that is where the aspect of frontierism coming in to say, what gap is frontierism is covering? What gap is frontierism is covering? Yeah, that's why when you are in real need, when you are in need, like need, you'll be able to understand that doing something with a good heart or doing something because you know it's going to impact you, because it's not only that you are not going to, it's not only that you are working for free. It also means that you are getting experience and you're also getting connection because you are in line with what you want. But how is the standard of frontierism in Namibia, especially among the young people? We have seen this in, when we were attacked by COVID-19. People say, no, all the retired doctors, please come on board, the nurses, come on board, people come and assist. People, they came because they understand that this thing is not only a national issue, it's a global pandemic, and we all need to fight, otherwise we are going to die. People have volunteered, they were not even asking to say, give us money. They say, no, let's go on the struggle. Why? Ask yourself this question. Why did people volunteer to go to war for the liberation of the country? They were not paid. 27 years there in exile fighting with an AK. They were not paid. There were no money. Although they were promoted, they were not paid. But they know the cost, because what is necessary is the cost. Why do we have to volunteer to go to the liberation struggle, but we cannot volunteer to fight the economic war? Why can't we do that? Because those are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. I remember my late uncle used to tell me to say, look, when I was in exile, He was a commander at one point. He said, no, when I come in the country, I find a car of somebody I know. I just take and drive because I know everything belongs to the struggle. Everything is for the revolution. Everything belongs to the struggle. And that person also understands that he already volunteered to give the car because knows that the cause, the aim is only one. Because if you want Namibia to develop, and we cannot even just stand up and volunteer to clean our town, volunteer to build a school, volunteer to contribute to meaningful things, how are we going to get there? Because the struggle did not end. And it's also something that we need to ask ourselves, and also ask ourselves, what did we do wrong? Because you can even get bored by doing nothing. You can get bored by doing nothing. And you start getting involved in unnecessary things. But if there is a spirit of volunteerism, there are thousands of institutions. And if you approach that institution and say, no, I'm a student, don't give me money. Don't ask people money. I'm a student. This is what I can do best. I want to learn about this. Why do you have, for example, a degree in civil engineering, but you cannot go to a construction site and see? Just go to a construction site or work as a builder at a construction site. Or volunteer, because they will not even want you to volunteer. They will give you that to say, this is what you can do. Why can't you do that? Because we are scared of what the society is saying, or we are putting our things down. But looking at the statistic of African Union, especially when it's coming to aspect of frontierism, there are graphs and there are also recommendation. What interested me is that frontierism was defined very well, especially with the African Union Commission of Women, Gender, Youth and the Youth Directorate, where they stated traditionally frontierism was rooted in pre-colonial Africa, customs, traditions, which involve community work in terms of farming, infrastructure building and caregiving.
you know, why people are no more working at, there was this thing people, and people did not understand it, to say a king, there is always work at the king's place. And people used to think, why should I go and work at the king's palace? Why should I go and work at the king's palace? But the motive behind that was to say, in those years, when preparation for cultivation, there's cultivation happening, there's harvesting, there's threshing of mahangu, millets, or all those crops, community used to go and volunteer at the palace, because the structure of the economy previously was structured this way, to say, in time of drought, there must always be enough at the king's palace, or to make sure that people get something. And they were volunteering because they know that is the cause. They were volunteering to say, no, there's work at the king's palace. Now these days, no, let us go and help the king. No, the king already have things and all those things. We cannot go and work. But that was developed through the culture of volunteerism, to say, let us go kombara and work. Not really because we are just going to work because we give respect to those who are in charge. It's not like that. In the aspect of saying, no, in time of trouble, the palace is for everyone. It used to operate as, now in terms of, the new structure of governance, we are now at the state where the state house is the main. But the structure of governance by then within, societies, people go and work, people go and also, contribute, to say, this is what you are giving. That is volunteerism, because you know, in time of drought, those who do not have something, they used to go and get assistance from the palace, to say, my people are not dying, the king or queen has to make sure that they distribute. And that is the tradition. Now, there's also, there are statistics, I don't want to dwell into them, especially monthly volunteerism, annual volunteer. It stated that in Africa, statistics are indicating that in terms of monthly volunteer hours, that is now 2025 report is indicating that there's five million hours, but that is not what interests us. That is not what interests us. But there's an aspect of global contribution. If volunteers formed a country, their GDP contribution would be ranked the fourth in Africa. Now, reading this, you'll be able to understand that the global aspect of volunteerism is very important to national development. It's very important to national development. Now, let us look at what are the numbers saying, especially the data which is distributed regionally, to say Western Africa, Central Africa, Eastern Africa is contributing this. In Eastern Africa, in terms of the total number of analysis, which in this, in terms of this, is 100% of frontierism, particularly in the context of Africa. In East Africa, the frontierism is at 32.1%, and they are doing very well in East Africa. In Central Africa, 17.9%. In Western Africa is 32.1%. North Africa is 7.1%. In Southern Africa, we are at 10.7%, which means that Northern and Southern Africa, the spirit of volunteering is dying. The spirit of volunteering is dying, and is undermining the progress of development, because for you to
to implement NDP6. You understand already, you understand already that when government is planning, there is not enough money, there is always a borrowing plan. There's not enough money at all. So it's a borrowing plan to say, for me to fund my plans, I also need to borrow from the country inside and also outside. And you understand the shortage already from the onset. The other time I was talking to somebody, then I said the difference between this year's budget and the previous year's budget is around just 6 billion. There's not much difference, although it looks like a lot of money. There's not much difference. How is it going to impact us? There's something that we need to do more. Because on the onset of planning, there's always a borrowing plan because there is not enough. Then there are unforeseen challenges, unforeseen circumstances of tariffs and all these things, the trade imbalance. How should volunteerism coming in? Because when you volunteer, you fill the gap. At the same time, you are getting experience. At the same time, you are contributing to the establishment of that structure. And you are also changing lives. You're also changing lives. Yeah, because if you look at the health sector, do you know do you know that the ratio of the basic ratio of a nurse to patients per hour and per day is not balanced in Namibia? Nurses are under pressure. Nurses are under pressure. But you also have health professionals who are trained, but they do not have a job. But why can't you volunteer and also assist? Because you can already see when you go to the hospital, nurses are doing everything. They are taking care of patients who are abandoned by their families. They are doing literally everything, and you expect this person to, and you expect our health system to be on standard. Why? How? But if somebody who is just saying, no, if there is no money, I'm not going. But if there is a party in, what is the lodge in Kawango? Is it Gandu Lodge? Something like that. If there is a party there, you find all necessary means to make sure that you get that money. Or if there is a poiki contribution, you make sure that you go and get that money. But it's something that we need to think of, to say you need to. For you to come up with something, you need to have a heart to say, why should I do this? Why are you working? Why are you doing what you are doing? And how do you get where you are going? Because at the end of the day, if you understand national development, then you'll be able to understand that it requires more than financial motivation to do something. And there is a beauty of volunteerism, because not all volunteerism there's always a payment out. Even if it's not finance, it's connection and experience. And there's one thing which I also need to praise, especially one thing I've seen, especially from law students. What they do is that I think law schools, they got it right. It's in many cases they got it right. They make sure that their students, when they are in holidays, they are encouraged to go and find, jobs or work either at a club, as a waiter, as a receptionist, just these small, very, 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 I don't want to say very, very small jobs, but this one where you think, how can somebody studying law, is working at a club, is making cocktails, or is a waiter somewhere. But they, at the center of that, even if they are not paid, they are there working, and you don't see that what they are learning is how to work with people. How to work with people. You are volunteering at a certain cafe. Your job is just to give coffee. Give coffee and also get, order and, dealing with this person. What you are learning is how to deal with a person, the psychology of human being, to say, at a certain cafe in town, at a suburb, wherever, at a certain restaurant, at a certain bar, there are around 100
people coming in there with different personalities, with different background, with different problems, who are coming there to eat and drink. But you engaging with these people, either as a volunteer or somebody who is just assisting, that is your learning process. When you become a commercial lawyer, you understand that when you enter the boardroom, this is how you speak to people. When you coming, you become a criminal lawyer, you become a trade lawyer, you know that people, they are being dealt with like this. Yeah, that's why you can't get that for saying, no, with my law degree, I can't work at the cave. It's a do or die. Because you know you are limiting yourself from learning the valuable lessons that do not need money, but experience. And there are also recommendations because you can read some of the key challenges which were identified by this report. It's a continental report. Because the aim is to say, when we have a continental agenda of African Agenda 2063, to say, this is where Africa we want to go. This is what we have. What is the contribution of frontierism to that? So say some of these challenges are lack of resources, especially finance for frontierism, because some government manage national frontierism program. They have a budget. And you look at Namibia, where our national frontierism program, look at the National Youth Service. I think there is a pickup, and I think young people are also, some of them are also getting in there, especially with National Youth Service. But there's a lot of things which need to be done. The non-prioritization of volunteering in development policy strategy is a major hindrance in many member countries. Now, because in Namibia, we only think about money. Only thing about money, when we are doing our plans to say, what is the portion of frontierism? Those who want can come. Because volunteering does not only mean those who do not have jobs. Even those with jobs, they can volunteer their time. They can volunteer their time and work on projects. To say, this one, I'm doing it at, they call it pro bono. Doing it at the pro bono. I'm doing it at, for free. And the other thing which was identified is little or no consideration of the power of traditional form of frontierism. At a community, if there is, for example, the pipe of water burst, people are going to call the authority 24/7, and they are going to cry and call the radio and all these things. But you already know that the government is under pressure. And I'm not saying it's not their responsibility, but what is the nature of that accident? Can it be fixed by a human being while you are waiting for assistance so people can get water? People are just calling, this one is this one, but you're supposed to say, no, guys, some of these things we can volunteer and do them ourselves. And there's really something which pained me, especially with what have happened. And I wish not to happen to anybody, especially when this horrific accident which have happened in the Marine Tower. But let's look at the commercial break.
Hello, Namibia. The NSA is conducting the Household Income and Expenditure Main Survey from the 28th of April 2025 to the 22nd of April 2026. Our officials in NSA uniforms, IDs and branded vehicles will visit selected households in all 14 regions. Hashtag Your Data Matters.
My friend, why do you...
We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. Today we are looking at the aspect of volunteerism and the contribution of volunteerism to community and also national development. We have around 15 minutes. However, you can engage us at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. You can ask your question, you can give your contribution, and you can also give your analysis. As I was saying, there's something which really pained me, especially what have happened with the horrific accident which happened at the end of month of August. When you start reading some of the reports, you'll be able to say that some of the colleagues were already speaking to say, no, guys, this form of transport is not safe for us. We are a lot. We do not have enough. And the security sector understand that they do not have enough vehicles. But one thing that you have to ask yourself is that how many rich Namibians, because at the same time, there is also statistics which are increasing to say, Namibia had that, I think it's to 2000, if I'm not mistaken, millionaires in the list again. But how many people can say, no, I know traveling from this area is very difficult, but I can volunteer my car as long as the government, you are maintaining it. And, at end of every month, you are giving me something. Not really at the business price. Or I can volunteer my car for 1 month. While you guys are sorting out your issues. And you help with maintenance. Or the community have this amount of money. This is what we can do. Because we can't. And you can see that there is also little in the pockets. Go to government garages, see how many vehicles are there. Then you understand that most of these things need somebody also to come from the other side and volunteer and say, no man, the way our police officers are, or the way this cell shop, this police mini station is, it's not safe. Why can't we contribute something? And maybe they have like a structure on it, because these are the guys who are assisting us, or they are just standing in the sun. But let's put a structure for them at least, why they are protecting us. Because with us as citizens, we are just on our calls and on our state WhatsApp status and saying, no, this government is out and all those things, and forgetting that also that at the end of the day, by the time help comes, You are finished. You are defeated. That's why these are some of the things. Now let us, because we have around 12 minutes, let us look at some of the key recommendations, especially from AU Commission when it's coming to celebration of volunteerism. The recommendation has to say, you know, member states are encouraged to dedicate sufficient resources, especially finance, to volunteerism, to optimize into coordination of sustainable development and social cohesion. That is the other aspect of dedication of finance, because when you have volunteers, these are also human beings. You are not giving them salaries. At least give them transport. At least give them some benefits to say, or have a program to say, this is what we can also give you. There must always be in every, it was supposed to be the case to say, in every national development plan, in every development plan, there must be an aspect of volunteerism to say, this is the budget I have for volunteers. This is how I'm going to take young people into this volunteerism. How are they going to contribute to implementation of this plan? So the other recommendation is also, consider traditional form of volunteerism when developing nation volunteering program and strategies. Yeah, this is it's very interesting, because I think African Union also realized to say, we can't move forward if we cannot embrace what has been there. The traditional form of volunteerism is, as I have indicated earlier on, that people, they volunteer their time and to assist in their communities without expecting something in return. But there were strategies to say, at least those who have come up with something that can also maintain these people during that process. And people understood that it was their development. When tar roads were coming, people were assisting. When gravel roads were coming, people were assisting. They were there. They said, no, we are at Chanakuronga. And it was a fun thing to see at that time. But it was part of the real bigger goal to say, no, we have to develop this country. And the other thing is also that AU Commission to take the recommendation on
integration of frontierism into official and regular statistic measurements to strengthen data. If you ask a counselor how many people are frontiering in your community, or what are the statistics saying? How do you treat men and women network in your community? It tells you a lot about how you view frontierism, how you treat them. Because they are at the front line. How you treat them and how you discourage them also is it tells you a lot about where we are going as a country. You don't want to talk to somebody from Men and Women Network, but you are calling the office of the Inspector General of the police. But the person is there to assist you. Some of these people, they got training. And it was the responsibility of everybody to say, if there is a bigger cause, let me join this bigger cause and see. Yeah, the fact that we have children being taught under the tree, it also tells us a lot that we have this thing in mind to say it can only be done if it's coming from government. A little did we know that countries which advance themselves, look at China, look at Japan, look at Singapore, look at their frontiering programs, then you see. Look at countries where after you complete your grade 12, some people, they go and serve in national services. Some people, they go and serve in the armies. Some people go and serve in, in their health developmental program. You are sent to some, they go to UN. Then when you come back there, you have skills. Because what is needed is change that we are bringing. So, let's look at, the other recommendation is also enhance advocacy and also effort for development of national frontiering program and also facilitate data collection and provide official information, because that is it from the report on African Union, especially when you look at African Union Directorate of Women, Gender and Youth. When they look at the way we are standing, and know that Southern Africa we are behind. Southern Africa we are behind, where Namibia is part of. And something that we really need to look at. And as a young person, I just want you to ask yourself, what is that thing that you can do in your community without expecting something in return? If you get even something in return, that is a bonus. Why can't you go and assist a security company with your degree in criminal justice and get experience there as a volunteer? Just, you know, I want to learn how to be a security analyst, for example. By the time you know, you are somewhere, and people they do, and I think most of HR professionals, they also not doing their work of saying, work experience does not only mean formal work experience, it also means where you give your time. I think that is also where we are failing. I think HR professionals must also pick up and say, no, when you are saying you want to have 5 years of working experience, volunteerism is also not ruled out. It's also not ruled out. And also, you need to ask yourself this question to say, how can you become a best psychologist if you cannot volunteer? How can you become a best social worker? Because Namibia now, we are in need of social workers, we are in need of psychologists, we are in need of clinical and industrial psychologists looking at where we are as a country. And we have people who are studying these courses. But when you are looking at their commitment, because some of these things were supposed to be coming from the heart to say, you are a community person. when you look at what they do, how can you be a best social worker who solve problems, or you are just doing that because of money? If you cannot just frontier in the community, you cannot just assist. Yeah, because when you do that, you are filling the gap that putting pressure on our health professionals. It can go to education, it can go to emergency response, because everything that you do is for national development. That time it was everything is for the revolution, or everything is for the struggle. Whether it's your time, your youth, your car, your bicycle at that time, because when the revolution come, people volunteer to say, no, it's a time to go to, it's time to go to the liberation struggle. Everything is for the liberation. Until people gain that liberation. Now, why can't we volunteer in terms of economic war? Or economic struggle, to put it that way. Why can't we do that? Because I remember, you know, this one parliamentarian from South Africa, EFF, when she got, when she got the parliamentary seat, she has to go and celebrate with her pastor. The madam said, no. The seat is not for Papa. The seat is for the revolution. Because it's not for an individual thing. And to put it in that way, it means that, it's not for an individual thing. It's for national development, because you just do your part and other people will come and do their part. So we have around 1 minute before we give the mic to Mike to take you through unpacking of the day. And I understand it will also take you through, some of the key aspects with, but it's on the Villager newspaper. It's doing quite a very good job in terms of that. And we'll take you through the day. We'll unpack what is happening. Yeah, that's why we are always telling you to say, continue listening to Eagle FM Namibia. And continue listening to the programs which are following. And we always value your contribution. We always value your time. Yeah, that's why in terms of things which affect our bread and butter issue, we'll never ever disappoint you on that, because this way and must be, you know, conversation that at the dinner table, must be conversation in a taxi, conversation on your way to work at lunch. We need to fix the economy. We need to fix the developmental challenges. And with the concept of volunteerism, is what you can do. You can volunteer your money. You can volunteer your service, your time, and space to make sure that at least when what is a good plan of NDP6 is going to be implemented, at least you are already found on your way. And from me, David Shombe, thank you very much, and bye-bye for now. And I will leave you in the good hands of Michael Shoveri with Unpacking the Day. You're the good hands of Mike with Unpacking the Day, and bye-bye for now.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral,
get social political with us or on traditional. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Omutiha, with the Kirokaguna, I Matina Omjo. chikao shafa sana na na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshi wana iye moya wo ota ingongo tisa mwene anange shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika seitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe yonge shifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngoe tuende pimemeha uo kakombanga nina kara omupashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu moambo dengira selma Kodara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oni aji. Eagle FM. So high.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.